You both here this morning. This is the final message in our Exceeding the Limit series. We'll go ahead and warn the affiliates down the line. We're going to go a little long today. So you're not getting out at noon. Just get over it. And I'm cranky this morning, aren't I? I actually had somebody compliment me yesterday. They said, you know, you said that about you turned 60 and lost part of your filter. And they said that was a good thing. And I don't know if it is or not, but I don't mean to be cranky. But anyway, we're going to wrap this up today, so let me finish it. We've been talking about removing things that limit the blessing of God in our lives. And we made the point that God is an unlimited God that desires to do more in us and through us and for us than we can even imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, King James Version reads this way, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." You can't even grasp the verse, let alone the concept behind that, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above, beyond all that we ask or even imagine, even think. That's what he says. "According to the power that is at work in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen." So God wants to bless us. He wants to exceed the limits of the blessing in our life, above and beyond. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And the past three Sundays, in the prior three Sundays, we've read the passage from 2 Peter chapter 1 that tells us that everything we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is ours if we choose to obey him and to walk with him. He says, by his divine power, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of him, he's given us these great and precious promises so that through them we can participate in the very nature of God. We can live for him. We can escape the corruption, the decay that comes to our lives when we're guilty of sin. We're free from all that. And what we've said is that if God has that for us and he gives us everything we need to live a godly life, what's the problem? And we've discovered the problem is with us, that we're limiting the blessings of God in our life. We disqualify ourselves and shut off the access to his blessing by tolerating sin in our life, by refusing to obey God, by displeasing him, by a number of things. So let me just review as we're wrapping all this up. We've said we need to make every effort to get the sin out of our life. That's what he tells us to do. Turn from evil and do good. We need to get the sin out of our life. Sin corrupts. Sin leads to all that decay and corrupting consequences. Sin is what destroys us, and it separates us from the blessing of God, because he can't bless us in our sin. He can't bless what he already has said. There's a curse on that. He can't bless something that he's already said, look, that's never going to merit the blessing of God, somehow or another. So we said, don't tolerate. Make every effort to get the sin out of your life. Then we said to make your obedience immediate. Don't deliberate over it. Well, should I do this or not? Just obey God. Stop living in sin and compromise and surrender to Christ. And then we said we limit the flow of God's blessing in our lives when we refuse to forgive. And Jesus said, if we forgive others, then the Father in heaven will forgive us. If we don't forgive others, he doesn't forgive us. Well, that's a problem. So we need to turn loose of that old bitterness and stuff. Whatever they did, we need to release that. Let the Lord take care of it. He'll be the judge and he'll be in charge of that. Let's forgive one another. We also said inconsistency limits the blessing of God in our lives. That we need to decide we're going to live for God, and I'm going to do that every day. And we are consistent in obeying him and living for him. I'm going to serve God for a couple of days, and then that's not working, and we move on to the next thing, and then we come back. Live for God. Get in and stay in, you know. I remember that old boy telling me, I've been in and I've been out. He was the guy at a concert that said, Reverend, I think I may have spilled a little beer on you. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, I want you to pray for me. He said, I've been in and I've been out. I'm out right now, he said, but I want you to pray for me that I'll get in before it's too late. I said, I've already prayed for you. And so I'm going to continue to do that. We need to be consistent. Don't let sin or compromise rob us of the blessings of God. Well, last Sunday we focused on a passage from 1 Peter chapter 3 that said, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with a blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, we see the word evil and we think, oh, you mean like jihadists that want to kill a lot of people. No, I'm just talking about anybody who says, I'm not going to do what God's word tells me to do. That's sin, wickedness, evil. That's turning away from God and what's pleasing to Him. Then that means evil. The face of the Lord is set against those who refuse to please God and do what the Word of God tells us to do. Well, we said then that how we treat one another affects the blessings of God in our lives. So you can't mistreat each other and refuse to love and refuse to forgive and not try to live in harmony and not be compassionate and humble and all those things. Repaying evil and repaying evil for evil and insult for insult, all that. He says then we can't expect the blessings of God in our life. We're to turn from evil and to do what's good. And if we do, God's attentive to our prayers. And if we embrace evil and wickedness and refuse to confess and get away from that, then He's against us. Last Sunday, I said we need to get our words, your heart, your thoughts, your actions in agreement with God's Word and His will. We talked about Joshua as he faced the walled city of Jericho. And God told him, as you go into the promised land, you're going to face this walled city and you're going to face others. Here's what you need to do. Do everything that I told Moses to do. Embrace the Word of God and live it. Don't turn to the right or to the left. In other words, don't vary from it. Do what I told Moses to do. Obey the Word of God. He said, don't let the words of this book depart from your mouth. Speak it, live it, embrace it, meditate on it day and night. And then he said, and do everything that's written in it. Don't just talk about it, but do it. Make your speech and your lifestyle match up. Let your talk match your walk. And God told Joshua if he would do those things, he would be successful wherever he went because the Lord would go with him. What I'm telling you by that is to get your life in alignment with the Word and the will of God. You know what happens when your car gets out of alignment? You're driving through Tulsa on some of our healthy streets, and suddenly half the car disappears and manages to get back out on the road, and it's knocked your car out of alignment. And what happens? It affects everything. It affects the tires wear differently because your car's out of alignment. You've seen guys going down the road, looks like they're driving down. That guy needs a front-end alignment, doesn't he? And so it's bad for the car, it's bad for the stretch zone, it's bad for stuff. I don't even know what those words mean, I'm just saying that. But anyway, it's destructive to the health and the well-being of the car. Am I right, Mark? Am I telling the truth? Okay. So it's out of alignment, it messes up. Anyway, you're not going to be able to, if your car's totally out of alignment, you don't want to drive at 120 miles an hour, do you, if your car's out of alignment? Because you're going to be meeting new friends in the grandstands if you're a racer. Your car needs to be in alignment. If you're a chiropractor this morning, this will be your opportunity to say amen. Because they tell us that our spine gets out of alignment. They call it subluxation. And then there's not good blood flow and nerve flow and all that stuff so that your hands are messed up and your head's messed up and your sinuses and your fingernails fall off or whatever. Anyway, there's stuff going on because our spine's not in alignment, and I think there's truth to that. And what I'm telling you is when our life is not lined up with the Word of God, with what we believe, what we know, what we say, what we do, how we live, if our life is not in alignment, we're going to be going down the road bumping into all kinds of stuff, and we're going to land in a ditch more often than not. We're not going to be healthy. We're not going to function the way we should, and we're not going to experience and enjoy the blessings of God in our life. And so with that little summary then, let me move on today. So here's a couple of other things we need to add to our list to exceed our limits. First of all, we need to increase our faith. Our life with God, our life in Christ, is a spiritual life of faith, right? Everything we have in a spiritual sense, what we claim, our salvation, that assurance we have that we're going to go to heaven when we die, the blessings of God, all of that's by faith. That's how we experience it. I prayed, repented of my sins, said, Jesus, forgive me. Yeah, that's what I did. And by faith, I believe that happened. And by faith, I appropriate the blessings and the provision of the Lord Jesus in my life. But it happens by faith. it's just what I know. It's how I live by faith. It's a spiritual walk. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He is, King James says, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So we start right there. Do you believe He exists? Well, yeah. Do you believe God is who He says He is? Yes. Start with believing in God. Then believe what He declares about Himself in His Word. And this passage declares that God is a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. We believe He exists. We believe He has a reward for those who seek after Him. And with what does God reward His people? He rewards us with Himself. He rewards us with Himself. We seek Him and find Him. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Why do I want God as a reward? Because He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. If He rewards us with Himself, then I have truth in my life. He's Savior and Redeemer. He's Lord and King and Master. He's the Prince of Peace. Everything we have need of is found in Him. And so if He rewards us with Himself, I'm complete in Him. I have everything I'm ever going to need. When we awaken His likeness, then our soul is satisfied, the Scripture says. So we seek Him and find Him. He forgives our sins and we are made complete in Him. And it is by faith that we come to Him. And it's because of our faith He rewards us with Himself. He wants to exceed your limits and reward you with His blessing and with Himself. If we seek Him, we'll find Him. He'll reward us with Himself in His presence. So everything we need to live a godly, victorious life is found in Him, and we receive all of that by faith. Now look at this. It's this wonderful cycle. Because He wants to reward us with Himself and with every spiritual blessing. Everything we need to live this godly life. Everything that truly, the way He created us, everything that would bring joy and peace and health to us, He wants that for us. By faith I seek Him. And the more I seek after Him, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more my faith increases. And the more faith I have, the more I can trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more I seek Him. And the more I seek Him, the more I find Him. And the more I find Him, the more I experience His blessings, which increases my faith, which makes me want more of Him. And so I seek Him even more. And the more I seek Him, the more my faith increases. And the more my faith increases, the more I trust Him. And the more I trust Him, the more I open myself to Him. And the more that He blesses me, and the more I get to know about Him. And the more I get to know about Him, the more I love Him. And the more I love Him, the more I walk in His fellowship and the sweetness of His character and His countenance, and the closer I want to be to Him and the closer I get to Him right before I jump off the edge, I'm able to say, hallelujah, this is a good thing. I'm going to keep seeking after the Lord and discovering Him. Now here's what we started out by telling you, that the God we serve is an unlimited God. Now, I've been married to the same woman for 40 years, a little over 40 years, and we dated for like 30 years before that, or what, it was a long time. I couldn't drive. Could you drive when we started dating? Not when we started. It's been so long I've forgotten. There was a period of time there where I had to catch a ride. Rode in that big, what was that car? A Galaxy? Fairlane. Was it a Fairlane? Yeah, it was a red Fairlane. All right. Anyway, sorry for having a little visit there. So for 40 years, and after 40 years of marriage and whatever it was, 5 years or something, 6 years or something, I was dating before that. It's amazing how she knows those numbers just like that. And after 46 years, there are still moments when I step back and say, well, would you look at that? I mean, something is said or something that's done that I kind of go, well, where did that come from? I look at the girls and kind of go, look what your mom's doing. Look what your mom said. I'm throwing you guys in there. And they say, I know. Who is that woman? When did she start doing that? I don't know. After 40 years, I'm still learning things. I'm still happy. I'm not trading her in for a younger model or anything else. I'm very happy. Let's just dig. Let me get that. God, I'd like part of that filter back if I could. What I'm telling you is, after 40 years, I'm still learning things, but our God is an unlimited God. You're not going to scratch the surface of exploring the riches of His grace and His mercy and His power and His presence. And He's the God who delights in giving good gifts to His children, and He won't withhold anything from those that walk uprightly. I want to know Him. I want to know Paula better after 40 years. But I want to know God, because at the end of eternity, and there is no end to eternity, we'll just be getting started on delving into the richness of His mercy and His glory and His grace. And He says, come know me. Come get to know me and let your faith increase, because the more you can trust and the greater your faith, the more you'll discover this unlimited God who exceeds all the limits. He invites us to come and participate in this unlimited life by faith. I want to exceed those self-imposed limits in my life, and God wants me to exceed it. So I do that by increasing my faith. Well, how do I get more faith? Do I have any faith? Here's what the Bible says. First of all, Romans 12, verse 3 says, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, everybody has some faith. Everybody starts out, bless you, everybody starts out with a measure of faith, right? We're born with a measure of faith. My thesis that I did back in grad school at OSU, we talked about, I was exploring the concept of God in children, and we discovered what was called undifferentiated faith. They didn't know what it was. The reason why that newborn baby cries, there is some kind of mechanism of faith in there after a few days that they think, if I cry, something's going to come in here, feed me, change me, pat me, pour powder on me, and bless my little heart. And so, and I know your child was smarter than everybody else, but really, child developmentists, their eyes are not quite, they're like puppies. They can't quite focus. And so you're thinking, look, she just lights up when she sees my face. Really, it's just a big blob that's staring down there. But you're talking to her like this. And so she kind of perks up with that. But it's like, oh, there's that big blob again. But they're bringing food. I'm happy about this. And so there's a level of faith behind that. If there's twins, they're saying to one another, watch this. I believe that if I scream bloody murder, that thing's going to come in here and we're going to get fed. This is awesome. And that's what they do. And so then that grows into a faith that, oh, I have faith that mom's going to come and faith that dad's going to come and faith that you know, whatever, it's going to happen because I believe this. That's faith that begins to work. Well, our faith begins to grow. Faith. Remember that passage we've read from 2 Peter chapter 1 over and over again. Faith is the first of those qualities mentioned. So he says, you've got all this by his promises. Add to your faith. Faith is first. Add faith, goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness and love. And he said we're to possess those qualities in increasing measure. Our faith should be and must be growing in increasing measure. We're learning, trusting, growing, and then we grow again and again. We're building up and increasing our faith. So what is it that really causes our faith to grow? And the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is the key. That if we will increase our faith as we read and study and believe and live God's Word. You say, well, that's the same stuff they've been telling me since I was in the Ark Park. They just keep telling me that thing. You need to read the Bible and obey it. And if you'll do that, that'll change your whole world and change your life. You got it. There you go. There you go. You got the right information. Now do something with it. That's what we've got to do. You're telling me it's just that simple. Just about it. Read it. Obey God's Word. Obey it. Live it out. What did we say last Sunday? Hide it in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. Let it be what you speak. Know what it says, and more importantly, do what it says. Learn what He requires of you. Remember we said that last week? Learn what He requires of you. The passage we read from 1 Peter, whoever would love life and see good days must do this. What? I want to love life. I want to see good days. I want the blessings of God. What must I do? Well, whoever wants that must do this. They must turn from evil and do good and live in harmony and love one another and forgive one. Oh, well, I didn't know it was going to require all that. Whew, buddy. You know, you walk into the gym and you say, there's a gymnasium out by our house. 24/7. Open 24. I guess that means 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I don't know. I've never been in there. But anyway, you walk into a gym and you'd say, you hold up a picture of, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was 22 and you say, I'd like to look like this. This is the body I want. Rippling muscles and abs and all that stuff. And they say, okay, we can make that happen. First the guy goes, and then he says, okay, no. We can make that happen. Here's what it's going to take. And then we go, oh, I didn't know it was going to require all that. I thought just joining is my reality. It's my virtual fitness routine is not working, as you can tell. I didn't know it was going to require all this, and that's kind of what we do with the kingdom. I want the blessings of God, and I want this life that you're talking about. Well, here's what you need to do. Whoever would love life and see good days must do this. Oh, I didn't know it was going to require that. I thought you just signed up. I thought if I joined, it would just happen. It doesn't work that way. You have to know God's word and live by God's word. Embrace it. Live it. And the change comes. It keeps coming back to knowing and obeying God's word, doesn't it? And again, is it really that simple? Not just knowing it, but living it, embracing it? That's the key to living this unlimited life God has for me? Yeah, this is what Jesus said. Whoever has my commands, you've got them. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Whoever has these commands, whoever takes them and embraces them and begins to live them, he says, you're loved by me and you're loved by the Father, and I'm going to reveal myself to him. We'll know Jesus in his fullness. This is the key. And then a couple of verses later, he said, if anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. It's not enough to just say that you love him, you'll obey his teaching. That's how we know. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. But he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. He wants to come live with us. The Father and the Son, by his Holy Spirit, want to live with us. We'll come be at home in your life. But you have to embrace this word and live it and believe it. And apply it to your life. You'll increase your faith, and when you do, you'll exceed those self-imposed limits. Well, here's the next thing. We need not only to increase our faith, we need to increase our vision. We need to extend our vision beyond ourselves, beyond where you are this moment and today. Let me explain what I'm talking about. As we increase our faith, we begin to extend that vision beyond those natural limits. I look at my life and think, well, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. And all of a sudden, I've set all these limits. Well, I couldn't. I mean, we do it in simple things. Well, I couldn't tell anybody about Jesus. Well, I couldn't witness to anybody. Well, I can't read the Bible through this year. Well, I can't obey God. And we say all these things, and we're doing this. Increase your vision. Realize what God's got bigger plans than what you can imagine. Remember Ephesians 3:20 again. He's able to do exceeding abundantly, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. It's beyond what we can see. And so by faith, we need to begin to see what it is God wants to accomplish. Go back to that passage in 2 Peter 1 that we've read every Sunday for the past 3 weeks, now four, where he says his divine power has given us everything for life and godliness, and he's given us these precious promises. Add to these things faith and goodness and brotherly kindness and all that. Verse 8 then, I've ended here, verse 8 every time. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see the next verse because I saved it till last. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. King James says, if anyone doesn't have these things added in increasing measure in their life, he's blind and he can't see far off. We just see what's in this moment. And those things we've allowed in our life that are displeasing to God have blinded us. We've forgotten that he's cleansed us from our sins. We go back to living like we did before we met Jesus. We start allowing stuff back in our life because we haven't been possessing those qualities in increasing measure. We haven't been growing in faith and in love and in perseverance and discipline and self-control and knowledge. We can't see beyond those self-imposed limits of that poor vision. And God says to us today, I want you to increase your faith and I want you to increase and have a greater vision. He wants us to see beyond just these temporal things to the things of the Spirit, to the things that are eternal. He wants us to see life from His perspective and not just our own, to see that God really does have bigger things and better things in store for us if we will only dare to believe it and see it and participate in what it is God wants to do in our life. His plan for you is tied to His plans for the kingdom of God. His plans for you is tied to His plans and His purpose for the church, for the next generation, for your family or somebody else's, and for eternity. Those plans are bigger and better than what you can imagine if you'll trust Him and determine that you're going to obey God and His Word. Open your eyes. Check your vision against God's Word and God's vision. And every time we start to say, well, that couldn't happen, and I couldn't do that, and I couldn't accomplish that, what does the Word of God say? Because you put on dark glasses and you're trying to see in a dark room, you need to open your eyes, check it against God's Word, and God's Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We start trying to limit Him, and He says, exceeding, abundantly, immeasurably, beyond anything you can even ask or imagine. I can ask for a lot, and I can imagine a lot. And He says, this is what's available. Everything you need to have a godly life and to live that life are available to you through the precious and great promises of God. Now, live it, embrace it, and let it be an increasing measure in your life as you live these things out. I know I'm saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, but I'm hoping we get it in a moment. And don't be blinded or seduced by sin, and don't be blinded by some temporary distraction or temptation. Boy, we're pretty quick, aren't we? We're little kids, you know, that it doesn't take much. All of a sudden, you know, the devil's doing this, and boy, we just turn away. Jesus and eternal life and everything's over there, and we're just going, hey, man, there's something out there, isn't there? And we're distracted by that. And God says, I've got blessings. And we say, yeah, but there's something, oh, look, bright and shiny. And who doesn't love bright and shiny? Am I telling you the truth today? Because you know it's the truth. Because we all do it. We all compromise. We all settle for less. Now, you know, if you get this, you get a Chevy Impala. But you'll be out there in the parking lot. I bet I could make that horn honk from here for them. In fact, my trunk's probably open. Go ahead, help yourself. I'm just about done. I may be done. I may be finished. I'm telling you, you need to increase your vision today. See beyond the limits. I'm preaching this one for myself. This one's really for me, I'm telling you. See beyond the limits, because I've limited what I thought God could do in me or through others. I'm guilty of that. Increase your vision. Start seeing with eyes of faith. I wish I could communicate what I feel in my heart and spirit today, because, we say it again, God delights in giving good gifts to His children. He doesn't want to withhold good things from us, but we disqualify ourselves from His blessing. We turn our back to Him and to His blessing, and then we wonder, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. We wonder why it gets hard sometimes. Well, but it's hard being a Christian too. Yeah, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all, and the way of the righteous grows brighter, and we're growing in Him, and we're in increasing faith and increasing measure, and we can see our way and see that there's purpose behind all this and that God's up to something. I don't want to limit what God can do in my life because of sin or compromise or unforgiveness or a lack of faith or any of that stuff. I don't want to limit what God wants to do in my life because I refuse to cooperate with Him. I don't want to limit what He wants to do in my life because my vision is so small or limited or nearsighted. I don't want to just live for today. I want to live with eternity in view and realizing that God's got something eternally good. I'm not going to tolerate self-imposed limits in my life any longer. God has more for me, and I want to experience that. Amen? So give me five more preacher moments and look at 2 Kings, and then I'm done. Five preacher moments. 2 Kings chapter 4, and I just want to read you this story. 2 Kings 4 verse 1. This is Elisha and one of the students in the school of prophets who had died. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. She said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." And Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She said, "Your servant has nothing there at all except a little oil." And Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. And she went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. and you and your sons can live on what's left. You say, well, what in the world does this have to do with anything you've been preaching about? Go get empty jars and don't just get a few. You see, this lady didn't know exactly what was going to be done with the jar. She'd already told him she just had a little bit of oil. And he said, you just go get jars. And if she had known what was going to happen, I think she would have approached it all. Her vision would have been a little different. Because he told her, go to your neighbors and ask for their jars. But I think if he'd said, here's what's going to happen. God's going to start filling jars with oil. I know you just got a little bit of oil, but he's going to fill as many jars as you've got. And you'll be able to pour oil and pour oil and pour oil. It can be an unceasing, unlimited amount of oil. And you'll be able to take that and sell it and make as much money as you need with plenty left over. She wouldn't even have to worry about the cost of oil being $40 a barrel. This was olive oil. But anyway, I think if she had known that, she would have said, boys, this isn't enough jars to start with. How far did you go? Well, I went to the three houses that way and two houses that way. Well, honey, go to the houses behind us and go to the houses across the street and go down, catch a bus and go down. Start rounding up the jars. She would have increased her capacity for receiving from God by enlarging and extending and increasing her vision. She would have been saying, this isn't enough. Get bigger jars. Get anything that will hold oil. If you can't find jars, get your old shoes out. We'll fill those. Get whatever we've got. Anything that'll hold oil, let's get it. Don't you understand, boys? An unlimited God with an unlimited capacity for giving says He's getting ready to pour oil out at our house, and we need to have something to contain what He's about to do. And what I'm telling you is that God wants to pour the oil of His blessing into your life. But all these things we've been talking about in the past few Sundays limit your capacity for receiving His blessing. And just like this widow lady limited how much oil she would have by her limited vision and faith, we limit the blessing of God in our life by our lack of faith, by our limited vision, by sin and compromise and disobedience, by refusing to honor His Word, by refusing to obey His Word. We disqualify ourselves. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning, this last phrase, trust God, obey God, and go get more jars. And get ready for what God wants to do, because He wants to exceed the limit in your life. Are you ready? And if you're ready, then the next question is, then are you willing to surrender to Him? Are you willing to get the sin and the compromise out? Are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to live for Him? Are you willing to cooperate with Him? Because He has unlimited resources. The problem is we've disqualified ourselves and we've only brought a couple of jars to something where He wants to bless us. He said, well, I didn't know God wanted to bless me. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Are you willing to walk uprightly? I didn't know God's plan would include me. That's what I've been trying to tell you. We don't always know what the plans are ahead of time. That's why the Bible says the righteous live by faith. We simply have to believe by faith what I told you this morning, that He is a rewarder of those who believe Him and trust Him and obey Him and seek after Him. And if we will trust and believe and walk in faith and obedience, at some point in time, there's going to be unceasing, unfailing oil brought to us. Go back to Hebrews 6, talking about that field. If you leave it unprepared, uncultivated, unfarmed, you don't plow it up and you don't plant seed, the rain's going to come one way or another. It's either going to splash off the rocks and off the thorns and thistles, or it's going to get down in the ground and produce a crop. But we're the ones who are going to determine what the outcome, what the harvest, what the crop's going to be. An increasing, a measure of blessing is what He wants for us. But we block His plans sometimes by our disobedience. Boy, I don't want to do that. We simply have to believe by faith and start living it. Don't you think it's time that we stop limiting God and His blessing in your life? Don't you think it's time you stop limiting your life by sin and compromise and unbelief, by unforgiveness and all that? Start seeing with eyes of faith. Start believing what God says and start living in that obedience. God has more for you, and God wants to exceed those self-imposed limits. If we'll say yes to God, and we'll make sure we bring more jars. We increase our capacity. We make room for God's blessing by our obedience So your obedience is to get more jars, to get the dirt out of them and get ready to receive what he has. And his blessing wants to come. Two more preacher minutes right here. I said five. I've already used three. Two more. So this morning I'm saying, Lord, I don't know how to end this. I don't know what you're trying to say. I don't know what we're looking for, Lord. And it was about 8 o'clock. I wrote down, I keep thinking myself and that widow lady. And out of doubt or out of fear or out of laziness or out of my lack of faith that God really wants to bless my life, I bring two or three jars when God said, I thought I told you to get ready for blessing. I thought I told you to get more jars. When God has unlimited oil to give, and out of my, I hate to be turned down. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't know about this, and I've wasted this, and I thought I was anointed to do that one time, and then I kind of backed away, and I don't know. And out of my fear, and I'm afraid somebody's, I don't know, I've just kind of stepped away from stuff, and all of a sudden I'd stepped away from my desk and turned around and wrote down, God can't bless what I don't offer to him. And he can't fill what I don't bring to him. And I thought, well, Lord, you waited till 8 o'clock this morning to give me the ending to this sermon. Maybe that's why, because he didn't want me to elaborate on it. Let me just say it again. God can't bless what I don't offer him. And he can't fill what I don't bring to him. And what he says is, trust me and bring those empty vessels to me. Bring your life to me. If you're willing to submit to me and surrender to me and bring yourself to me, I can fill your life with oil, unceasing, unfailing. The blessings of God will be there. I'll bless your life. I'll anoint you, empower you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll see you through storms. I'll be there for you. But you have to bring yourself to me, because I can't bless what you don't bring to me. And I can't fill what you don't bring to me. And folks, I want the blessings of God this morning. I want to walk with him in obedience. I want to know his power and his presence to be at work in my life. Bryce, come back. 30 seconds. 30 preacher seconds. I want to know, how's your vision this morning? And see, we automatically say, well, Lord, I've made a mess of things. You know, I used to know the Lord and I used to serve him, but I've made a mess of things and I don't see how God can bless me. I can't change your past. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is deal with where you are this morning. Are you willing to bring the jars to him this morning? Are you willing to say, Lord, I confess my sins and I need to repent and I need to change and I want to give an unlimited amount of myself to an unlimited God? Because when you limit what you give to him, Lord, I'll give you this area of my life, but not that one. I can't give you that one, and we can't deal with that one. And he can't bless you the way he wants. That's the same thing as bringing two jars and then saying, well, boy, I didn't know there was going to be more. Go get the jars. Go give him access to your life. We get it all mixed up. Lord, I need you to heal me. I need you to heal me because I got this physical condition. And we got all this stuff over here, and he's saying, I don't want to just heal your body. I'm talking about your spirit and your mind and your soul and your relationships and all this. You're bringing one jar, but it's limited what we can do. Bring me the whole thing. How about giving me the whole thing? How about bringing it all here? Some of you are in a tough spot this morning. You're in a tight place. Some of you are trapped in a. It's a bad spot, and you're wondering, man, we've hit a rough season. We've hit a rough patch here, and I don't know how we're going to get out of it. But I'm just telling you this morning, bring the whole thing to him, not just a couple of places. Don't, I'll give you this, but I'm going to try to fix this on my own. You can't do it. But if you give it all to him this morning, every part of it available to him, he's got blessing. He's got oil, unfailing, to change this morning. Yeah, let's stand. I know that releases some of you to run out the back door, but go ahead. I can't do anything about the blessing of God if you're running out the back door. But anyway. If anything I've said this morning made sense and resonated in your heart somehow, that that you're just willing to say, God, I know you can't bless what I won't bring to you, and so I'm bringing to you these things. I'm kicking the limits out of my life. I don't want to have self-imposed limits that disqualify me for the blessing of God. I want what you have for me. I want you to slip out and come and just stand here at the front. Come close, and we're going to pray this morning, and then we're done. I promise you, I won't ask for another preacher minute if you'll just come. We need something we don't have. And we come with our brokenness, and we come saying, Lord, all I got. What's that old saying? In for a penny, in for a pound. Well, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Broken and messed up, and I can't fix it, and I can't change it, but Lord, here I am. I can't change my past. I wounded people. I betrayed confidence. I broke those vows. I've wounded others. I've sinned. I've failed. I can't do anything about that, but God, today, I can do something about today that I don't want to be disqualified. Lord, I'm turning away from all that stuff. God, forgive me of my sin and forgive me of the compromise. Clean me out, Lord, and then fill me up every part of my life. I won't withhold anything from you, but every part of my life. You begin to just cry out to him right there. Just cry out to him right there. Oh, God, here I am. Here I am, and I need you to come bless me. Here I am, Lord, and I need you to take every piece and every part. Because I'm broken and I need you to fill me up. I'm broken and I need something to transform my life. I'm broken this morning and I need fullness. And so I won't withhold anything from you. I won't walk in disobedience to you, Lord. I come to you this morning. I give myself to you, Lord. I give myself to you today. Oh God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Come fill me up. Here's this vessel, Lord. Here's this empty jar. Come fill me up, Lord. We take all the sin and the compromise out. Fill me up with your blessings, Lord. Not just a piece here and there, but truly, Lord, your blessing. Oh, God, let your blessing be on us today, on our family, Lord. Let your blessings be on us today, Lord, as we reach out to you. We need something to change in us, Lord God, and so we reach out to you today. Oh, come and change us, Lord. Come and fill us today, Lord. We're empty and we're going to lose if we don't have your anointing, your power, your blessing, your favor, Lord. So we ask for it today. God, we need you to change our circumstances today. So we won't withhold anything from you, Lord. We can't. We just won't, Lord. We won't withhold anything from you, Lord. Here we are. Fill us up today. Fill us up today, because I understand, Lord, you can't bless what I don't bring to you. You can't bless what I won't surrender to you. You can't bless my family if I'm holding on to my waywardness and sinfulness and living apart from you, Lord. You can't bring blessing to me if I'm living under a curse. But if I come to you and surrender my life, there are blessings that'll come, Lord. And that's what I want in my life. Oh, God, come. Let me experience you. You said if we would just embrace you, if your word would abide in us and we'd obey it, then you would reveal yourself to us. And I think you'd reveal yourself as the rewarder of those who seek you. And you'd bless us. You'd heal us. You'd change our life. You'd change the life of that widow lady with your provision. You can change mine if I'll dare to believe you today. Oh God, break the shackles of doubt and fear off my life. I'm kicking the limits out. Lord, I'm not going to be limited by my own fears of somebody else's judgment or somebody else's opinion or my own weaknesses or my own inabilities. I'm afraid, Lord, that what I do won't be very good. And somehow or another, I fear rejection. So I'm afraid to even bring the jars to you, Lord. I'm afraid you'll say, nope, not you. But the truth is you're saying, no, come on to me. Come on and live for me. Come on, bring the jars. Come on. Come on, there's blessing to come. Not lack, but blessing. Come on, there's provision if we'll trust Him. If we'll trust Him. So, Lord, here it is. Here's my lack. Here's my lack. Here's the empty jar. Oh, Rabakasato Rubamaha. Ishamakosubrabakatalimoko hubrebe heshika. No longer will we be limited by self-doubt or fear. We'll move away from the limitations of doubt and fear in our mind, and we will embrace the empowering presence and blessing of God. We will declare, "Thus saith the Lord," and that word will take up residence in our heart and in our life, and that word will bring blessing. Will bring blessing to our lives. Lord, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to obey your word. We're going to live according to that word. We'll step out from under that doubt, that curse we've been living under for too long. We're just not going to live there anymore, Lord. We bring ourselves to you today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, God, you've got more for us than what we can imagine. You've got more for us than we can imagine, Lord, if we'll just obey you, if we'll just walk with you, Lord, if we'll just cooperate with you, Lord, there's more. There's more here than what we can imagine, Lord. There's more here for us. But you can't bless what we won't bring to you, Lord. So we bring ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Blessed. Oka semre hi shavla bakotoya. Ila masuvrande beki suvra meshikase te lavaboto. Barasto kurumo suvrame tilebehi si kurumistete. Ila bakosuvra matishimahe. Uka saprende. Yes, de vromoko sambre himata yesepe. Come on.
And he will bring his glory down upon us. But it comes through surrender and obedience to God. And he's asking of us today to dare to trust him and to step out in faith and believe his word and honor his word and give to him what he asks us to give. One tenth of our income. And then the windows of heaven will open over us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the prompting of your Holy Spirit this morning. For words, Lord, that call us to confession and repentance, to call us to change our lives and our walk with you, Lord, to call us to search our own hearts and to submit, Lord, to what you have for us. We want all you have for us, Lord, but we need to make every effort to do all that you've called us to do. If we do what you say to do, we'll have what you tell us we'll have, Lord. Help us to be obedient in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Do you believe his word this morning? We've spoken to our hearts. Can we just give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Father, we bless you and thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. We trust you and we obey you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you're a guest this morning and unfamiliar with Pentecostal Charismatic Worship, there's a little book out there at the information desk called The Personal Work of the Holy Spirit that explains spiritual gifts like you just heard, the tongues and interpretation, or we're happy to answer questions if you got them. We want you to know about that. If you're a first-time guest, there's a gift out there, and there's a book about Advent. Pick that up. I'm going to get new dentures, and they'll work better. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Remember, no Wednesday night service. God bless you.